Quite a gospel, isn't it? Quite a challenging gospel. And this morning I would like to share with you some words from the gospel, specifically verse 38. And it says, "And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me." As I read this verse, I remember my days of doing mathematics. And I don't remember too much about mathematics, but one thing I remember is that two negatives make a positive. Does anybody remember that from your days of doing math? Two negatives make a positive. So let's reword this verse a little. And I would reword it by saying, whoever takes up the cross and follows me is worthy of me. And for many Christians, these reported words of Jesus summarize what it means to follow Christ as our model, as our example. For as Matthew explains in verse 25, it is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher. And Matthew is describing the difficulty and potential consequences of discipleship. And if we were to look earlier in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, we would recognize that Jesus had talked about others who would oppose and condemn his followers, including political leaders, the religious establishment, and even family members. And the reading for today continues in that tone by addressing how pressure might be applied through threats, physical harm, and even rejection by loved ones as they ventured into the unknown and as they looked into the future in their chosen way of life. For a moment, I invite you to think of some new venture that you have undertaken in your life. Perhaps a move, and my most important move I recall was leaving home, because I not only left the household, but I left the country and moved to Canada. For many, it's your first trip abroad. For many, it's learning a new skill, starting a new career. Right now, I'm learning a new skill. For those of you who read the weekly updates, you must know that I'm now learning to use MailChimp. I had never used it before, but thanks to my coach, Chip, I'm getting through. So I'm learning a new skill, and many of you are probably learning something new. Starting a new career. Or some people might even be starting a new business venture. And I'm suggesting that we are starting or restarting a business venture here at St. George and Young. Because for many, life changes are filled with excitement, with hope for the future, aren't they? The thrill of a fresh start, a new lease on life, of venturing into new territory. And I would imagine that the disciples were really excited to get on with the job, just as we are ready right now to get on with the job at St. George and Young. However, Jesus provided some insight into what their lives would be like, and perhaps it is an indication of what might lay ahead for us as we move into the future. For Jesus is preparing his disciples for persecution, and he warns them that they will be ostracized, perhaps. They might have difficulties when they follow in his footsteps. And perhaps their faith will be shaken because they might have disappointments, just as we might have. And much of this applies equally in many parts of the world today, where people are hostile to those who profess their Christian faith. For in verse 26, he talked about intimidation and encouraged his disciples to continue sharing the good news, even when threatened. And when faced with physical harm, he urged them to allow themselves not to be bullied. For it is clear that we should fear only God, who holds our entire life in his hands. And thirdly, he encouraged them to be firm in their faith, even when they are rejected by loved ones. But in all of this, the disciples were reassured of the faithfulness of God in all their ups and downs, if they would only have the courage to put their trust in God and to be totally committed to do his will. I would imagine that we too face our difficulties as Christian witnesses, don't we? But fortunately, God doesn't measure our worth as a Christian based on the standards of society. And Matthew reminds us that God watches over his entire creation, even the sparrows, which are considered less worthy. So we, then, who are made in God's image and who are precious in God's plan of salvation, should get at least the same consideration as sparrows, shouldn't we? For God loves us just as we are. And I must say, though, that in a society where there are so many ways to tell us what we are worth, where people are often judged by personal characteristics like gender, like sexual orientation, like race, like disability, people are judged by age, by professional and economic status, and we can go on and on and on. We know that we are all precious in the sight of God, because Jesus cares for us, and the Christian life with its challenges could separate the Christian from others, like our loved ones who might mean well, but who may have a different perspective from us. And the Christian message could divide families and set friends apart from each other. But my friends, the love of Christ unites us all. Think about this for a minute. At the time when Jesus was teaching his disciples, what kind of church do you think he had in mind? What kind of church do you think Jesus had in mind? Do you think that St. George and Young is the type of church that Jesus had in mind? I believe that Jesus had in mind a church that did not perpetuate the system. I believe that Jesus had in mind a church that was not necessarily part of the mainstream, but one that is fundamentally different from the society and culture in which it exists. And we too are committed to live according to our baptismal covenant and perhaps be slightly different from the society in which we exist. Because when we choose a way of life that sometimes challenges the status quo, we might meet with resistance. When we advocate for fair treatment for all, including our indigenous sisters and brothers, we might find some resistance. When we advocate for a fair wage for all working people, there might be some resistance. When we advocate for the removal of systemic barriers, and when we advocate for efforts to clean up the environment, we will meet some resistance. However, in all of that, the disciples were encouraged, despite the difficulties that they faced, to take bold steps to share the gospel. And we too are challenged to take bold steps in our life in Christ. So tell me, is St. George and Young ready to take some bold steps? I believe we are. The scripture today encourages us to step out in faith and to envision how we can go all the way through thick and thin as we work towards our full potential as a parish. Now, if you're a driver, and in my days working for the government, I worked for part of my career in the Ministry of Transportation. And so I'm familiar with a lot of these transportation terms, but this does not come from the ministry. This comes from drivers. What this is called, putting the pedal to what? The metal. You've heard it. So I think that we are ready to put the pedal to the metal. And recently, we have been exploring what it would be like as a church where all our gifts are used in Christ's service for this important ministry for each and every one of us to do. We have also talked a little about what it would be like if we had an intentional discipleship culture, including a rhythm of life and Christian service, and what if we encouraged others to join? But we are also encouraged to continue planting seeds. Continue planting seeds of the gospel. And today, I'm challenging each and every one of us to plant seeds of growth as we consider growth as the third area of focus for the parish. So we may consider three areas of growth. And I recommend that we start with spiritual growth, a deeper and more meaningful spiritual life for our own spiritual fulfillment. And that might mean different things to each and every one of us, but could include a rhythm of prayer and the reading of scripture, and of course what we are doing now, corporate worship. And we can go on and on about how we deepen our spiritual life. So first of all, let us all make a recommitment to deepening our spiritual life. Secondly, the number of the faithful here at St. George and Young could grow and should grow. The number of the faithful needs to grow. And so the second area of growth that I'm suggesting today is numeric growth. Now I know that some of us are probably thinking about the scripture passage which goes something like this. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And that is true. We know that. But perhaps others might be saying, well, how about the Great Commission to spread the gospel to the entire world? Yes, we know that. And we are working on that. And somebody like me, I'm very practical. I look at examples and I say something like, well, I noticed that when I read the scripture, Jesus preached and did his feeding to thousands of people. Really? He fed thousands and he shared with love, his love with so many. So why don't we just follow that example? You see, for our Sunday morning worship, if we look around, we know that we have a limited capacity of just under 300 persons. So we must let others know that there's always room in the inn at St. George and Young, and that we'd gladly love to have them sitting next to us. So first of all, we must grow and deepen our spiritual life. Secondly, we need to grow numerically, and there's really only one reason for growth, and that is to share the gospel with others. Share the gospel and grow numerically. So we grow spiritually, we grow numerically. And the third area of growth, which I'm suggesting this morning, is that we must grow in our presence and in our visibility. What difference does it make that our church is here? What difference does it make? And how do we regain our visibility as an integral part of the fabric of this community? How do we become, again, the hub of Willowdale? Now, you might be aware that we connect with people in the neighborhood at the farmer's market during the summer on Thursday morning. So if any one of you happen to be free on Thursday mornings, come and join us as we connect with people at Millasman Square. And last year, I met someone who told me that she knows a lot about St. George and Young. She'd never worshipped here, but she knows about St. George and Young. So I was really curious. I said, how do you know about St. George and Young? She said, guess what? When I was a girl guide, we met at St. George and Young. And I said, interesting. So there are ways of getting people to know the church. And that is one example of how the church had been a hub of the community. And I'm sure that sitting here, you're thinking of creative ways to have this church be the hub of the community again. Yes, people need to know that we are here as a visible and meaningful sign of God's presence among us. And so we must continue to plant seeds, and we must also plant trees, because seeds take a little time, don't they? But if we plant trees, I have a friend, every summer he plants trees with the strawberries already on it. And that's a way of getting his strawberries very, very quickly. So there's nothing wrong with planting trees as well. So over the months of July and August, the parish will be engaged in summer conversations to talk about the future of our Church of St. George and Young. We will talk about how we could all participate in God's mission, using all the gifts with which we have been blessed. We'll talk about how we can be intentional in our discipleship and support each other in our Christian life and service, and also how we can grow in Christ. And we'll also take some time to envision what St. George could be like in the future. And on a very personal note, I don't think it's too early to start planning for our 100th birthday party. As you know, the parish will be 100 years old in 5 years' time. So I hope that by God's grace, we'll all be there, and I hope that you'll invite me back, invite myself. And we need to start doing some serious work on Vision 2022, our five-year plan, to take us to that point. So, what does it mean to follow Christ? In the scripture reading for today, the reference to a cross needed no explanation to the Jewish audience that Jesus was addressing, because they had suffered persecution under the Roman Empire, and this highlighted the level of trust required of being a disciple of Jesus. Yes, Jesus reminded them, and he's reminding us, that there's a cost associated with following him. And yet, guess what? We invite others into a life with Christ, for we are Christian adventurers. For as Christian adventurers, we are willing to acknowledge and identify publicly with Jesus. We are willing to face criticism, and we are willing to be in a position to explain the truth about the gospel. And as Christian adventurers, we are willing to take risks for Christ's sake. For all through the challenges of the Christian life, we are encouraged to acknowledge God's omnipotence. We are encouraged to stand up for what we believe in as Christians. And most importantly, as the scripture for today reminds us, we are encouraged to place our trust completely in our living God. Let us pray. Gracious God, help us to place our trust in you and make you the center of our lives as we endeavor to live as faithful disciples and share your love with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so, my sisters and brothers in Christ, These thoughts we have shared in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.